Welcome to Kidney Journeys, a program brought to you by patients for patients with kidney disease and their families, hosted by The Road Back to Life, a mentoring group for kidney patients. For more information on The Road Back to Life, visit us at www.theroadbacktolife.com. Now here's your host.
We want to thank you guys for joining us again. So this is part two of a two-part show that we have with Lisa Custer, who, like I said at the beginning of the first part, who's an incredible woman with a really important message. She has an incredible life story. So please, if you haven't already, listen to part one. And she just has a great message. So it's a really good show to listen or watch, since you can watch us as well. Thank you, Lisa, again, for sticking with us for another part to your show. We really appreciate you being here. And then just to introduce everybody, I'm Ashley again, and I'm out here on Camano Island. We're all in kind of different parts of the country. Lisa is down in Oregon. And then, of course, we have Don, and he's over in Colorado.
And I'm going to talk real loud so it can go over the mountains and get to you guys. How's that?
You like it.
All right. Well, I'm excited about hearing the rest of Lisa's story. I hope everybody gets what I got out of it. I mean, I've been doing this for a lot of years, but still I learn every time somebody talks. And so, Ashley, take it away.
Thank you. So Lisa, to just continue with what we were talking about before, I know that we kind of left off with you saying that you had gone back home to do in-home hemo. And so just from what we've learned from the first part is it sounds like you've done three different types of dialysis. Yes. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the one you're doing now, what you like about it, what you like about the other styles that you've done as well?
Well, I love home hemo is because I'm very independent. I very active. And so what I get to do is my downstairs, my basement is a dialysis unit. And it's set up just like a dialysis unit. I've got chrome siding all over the walls with my medical supplies and my little bins. And I have my dialysis chair. And I have all the things that I need. And my care partner, who actually is my former husband, he was my husband 30 years ago. So he and I know each other really well. And he asked actually to be my care partner. He wanted to do this.
Wow.
He wanted to get me out of the center. And so it was great. He was my PD partner for the first time I was at home therapy on that different modality. So this was really good. It was a perfect fit. We had our routines. It's downstairs. I love doing it in the morning. If I can get up and get ready, because with the dialysis, you have non-dialysis related responsibilities. You'll have the water situation, which we use PureFlow, which is my own water. You have to prepare sacks. You know, it's a lot of different things. And of course, my big warehouse is in the garage. I do my treatments. I am on a 5-day treatment a week, but I've been doing so good. They're doing my labs actually Monday, and we're going to find out if I'm down to 4 days
wow.
a week. 4 days a week and we're shaving time. It's 3 hours for duration. Mm-hmm. We're looking at 2.5.
That's awesome.
I've done that well. I've done that well.
Yay!
Yes. It's obviously, it's the summer now, and I'm not eating as much, and I'm not drinking as much. And this is because when you do the dialysis every day, your weight increase is not as much. And so I'm literally taking only maybe 0.5 kilo off. When in center, I would be 2+.
Oh, okay. And that's fluid, right? We're talking fluid.
We're talking mm-hmm. straight fluid. There was mm-hmm. one time that I was up 4.
Wow.
Oh, that was 4. Yeah, that was that. Yeah, well, that was Christmas. So that was, yeah. It was Christmas. And so you really have to manage your weight and fluid gain very, very carefully with home therapy on home hemo. I have a port. That's mm-hmm. different. I don't have a fistula.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's very, very different. Mm-hmm. And I have vasculitis, which basically means my veins are very small. Mm-hmm. And I was unable to support the fistula and the grafts.
Okay.
That didn't work out. So this is just a wonderful modality. It's just perfect. You know, I can actually, and I have a garden. I have a large home and I have a garden, organic garden. I have time to do what I need to do in the morning. If I want to, instead of mornings doing my treatments, I can work on the house, get my supplies, get what I need. And then, you know, power down like the 5 o'clock late shift at a center, 5 o'clock, mm-hmm. you know, do the dialysis and just coast right into, you know, nighty night time.
Okay.
And, you know, so it works, but I have a care partner. So this is a unique situation because unlike PD is nocturnal and you can do that by yourself. With a care partner, you know, they're doing the machine. So you have to go along not only with what goes well with you, but you have to work with your care partner and what works well with him. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So there goes the control issue, huh?
No, we have a contract with our a medical director that it's a 50-50% thing, and I've actually signed off on what he's going to do, what I'm going to do, what we're going to do, and it's spelled out very, very specifically. So this program is for the active, someone with really good labs, they're at their BMI, and that they're independent, no medical issues, and they have a care partner that's willing to sacrifice, and they do, and willing to be patient and work with you on this. Because it's a team effort. It's not on me. It's both.
Yeah, and I just want to say that you know, there are individuals out there that have been on home hemo, have done so well that they've brought them down, you know, to 4 or 5 days a week, but they decided to continue doing it the 4 or 5 days a week instead of going down because they felt so much better. And they could drink a little bit more fluid because, you know, they were taking it off pretty much on a daily basis. And so, you know, there are those out there that did that. That doesn't mean everybody has to, but you're doing really, really well when you know you're going from not only, you know, 5 days a week to 4 days a week and dropping down to 2.5 hours. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. It really, really is.
That's a huge deal.
And it's for both parts, for you know, the caregiver that's helping you and yourself. It gives you more freedom. And speaking of which, I'm going to talk a little bit about the possibility of even more freedom should you choose it. Have you ever been or are you even interested in having a transplant after all this?
I have never wanted to be on the transplant list. I never will. I just choose to do this in lieu of the financial implications of not just getting the transplant, but you know, there's money that's involved after the transplant. The drugs, I don't take any drugs. I'm drug free. And, I had a limited time on prednisone and I was a crazy woman. I was crazy. I couldn't do it. And, I emotionally was, I just couldn't do it. And I also had a problem with the dietary issue with the drugs. That wasn't working out. And I was gaining weight back again. And no, I'm very, very content in doing what I'm doing of home hemo. If there was an option, and my understanding that this might be available a couple of years down the road, but they're doing the testing of the artificial kidney at Vanderbilt, and I would like to, you know, be up for that, but I'm not going to be the first one. I'll be, you know, patient number four, you know, just to make sure it works. And, you know, that might be something, but no, I can live this way perfectly for a very long time if I continue and being strict on the diet and continuing an exercise regimen. You know, I'm going on 57 years old as it is. You know, I'm not a spring chicken by any stretch of the means. And I want to be in this for the long term. You know, I'm the horse that's going to run the mile and a half, not the sprint. Okay. And I know what I have to do. I know where I have to go physically and mentally. So this, sure, this option for a transplant's not for me, but that's not to say that it's not for somebody else. Absolutely. And I'm a real big proponent about being an advocate for choices. Mm-hmm. If you want a transplant, I think that you need to have that support in order to get the transplant, and not just to get the transplant, but to maintain it lifelong, not just 3 years, but lifelong care.
Yeah. I've done it for 17 years almost.
Wow.
Ashley, I think you're working on what?
Four.
Yeah. And Bob's about six or eight, somewhere in there. But that was our choice. And I just want everybody to know, because you and I discussed this a little bit beforehand. That's why the question came up, because everybody touts transplant. And for some people, it's not the case. And that's not saying that, you know, next year you may say, you know, hey, maybe I'll give it a try. But, you know, you just leave your options open and see where things lie. But you always have the option, you know. And for you right now, transplant's not the deal. But the whole deal is that you still got the option, no matter what. No matter what. And so I think that's the key element to this out there. It's just simply, like you said, keeping your options open.
Yeah, and you made a choice, and sounds like you're doing it well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, a lot of people think I'm crazy. Actually, I've had real. I mean, from the job, I've literally had doctors argue with me on this point, and I've had to say, no, wait, back up. Isn't this my choice?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this me? This is not you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to be real, real adamant to the point where, honestly, because when I say that they ask every month I go in for my in-person. And yes, I have done telehealth, but with me, because I've transitioned, and this particular medical doctor really likes to keep all eyes out on me. He's asked me, and you know, and I not only had to talk about this, I had to talk about this with six other people there, and practically had to argue it. It was not a comfortable situation at that time, but you know, that's fine. I know they have to do, it's a CMS thing. I understand.
Well, and I think also, though, that there are a lot of people out there, and there's one that people can look up on the internet. His name was Bill Peckham. He did just exactly what you were doing, or you are doing. He did home hemo, and he went around the world. He's been on just about every continent there is. He's taken raft trips with his little Next Stage and wow. generators. And he happened to have the guide that took him down it. His dad was on dialysis, and he told Bill, he says, if I can't get you down this river in your equipment, then nobody can. And so, but Bill has been everywhere. And Bill died here not too long ago, but he was on this for years and years and years. So, you know, I think we need just, we'll move on here because we're running out of time and got a couple more questions I'd like to get through.
Yeah. So Lisa, you sound like a busy woman just from us being here just a short amount of time talking to you. So what are you working on now and what groups are you a part of?
Well, I'm with the NCC, with the Nationals, and I just completed a project on the Home Affinity Group about how to transition your home for home therapy and about the inventory list, what you need to do. 10 days, it's actually 10 days to prepare your home, which includes everything from the cleaning, the site, the equipment, how to do inventory, warehousing your equipment. So I just did that. I'm also part of PAC, and of course I represent Oregon. And so at this point in time, we're not doing anything, but I think things are to come.
What does PAC stand for?
This would be the Patient Advocacy Council.
Okay.
I'm a council member there. I am also a patient ambassador for the Dialysis Patient Citizens of America. That particular organization has asked me to start a letter campaigning process about coordinated health care, which is on the federal level. And then I'm on board as of last week with the NKF, the National Kidney Foundation. And I'm actually involved with the Patient and Political Advocacy Council. And that particular group will have a summit next month. And my understanding is there's some questions that they would like me to pose based on the Living Donor Act and the immunosuppressive drugs. And so I'm working on that project. That's a project that just kind of came on my desk about 2 days ago once I accepted that particular position. So I've got those things. I'm still a praise and worship singer every mm-hmm. Sunday, if not every other Sunday, mm-hmm. At my church, and doing, of course, outreach with them for Beaverton, for the city of Beaverton.
Very cool.
So
you're
busy. What are you doing in your spare time?
My spare time?
Do you have any?
I do. I do, as a matter of fact. I do. It's just I have a dog and a big yard and a garden. And the other thing is finishing up a fence and doing cement, putting cement poles in. I'm going to clean that up so I can get a puppy.
We'll see. People listen. This woman hasn't changed. She is a live human being, just like every one of us. We all got things we need to do around the house and we need to do for each other and so on and so forth. And then she takes the extra time and reaches out and participates in things that are going to help the community. Community meaning the kidney community and also the community outside the community or outside the kidney community being their loved ones. I I mean, that just doesn't affect the person with kidney disease. It's the loved ones as well.
Yeah.
And so if you could say one thing to our kidney patients that may be listening, what would it be?
Never give up. Never. Never surrender. Never. If you get the right focus, just march in that direction. You can do it. You can do it. You know, if you just try, and if you just have, it's, if it's here in your heart, you know, you can do anything. I think, I really do. And I've really, you know, I didn't think I could do it, but I kept up the faith. I never gave up. Never. I never will. You know, I could come up and they could say, Lisa, you've got cancer now. Well, you know what? I'm not going to give up. Then I'll have dialysis and then I'll have chemotherapy. And, you know, I'll do what I need to do, I guess is what I'm saying. And to never give up and to never give up the hope. You have to have hope. And you have to have a purpose and a vision with that hope in never giving up.
Yeah, I why you say that, I've been almost 17 years on transplant, and I'm 73. I am as active as I possibly can be. My old joints just don't allow me to do what I used to be able to do, but I do what I can. Having said that, my immune suppressants about 6 years into my transplant jumped my blood sugar up. So now I'm a diabetic. Okay. So I said to myself, after I whined about it for about 2 days, I said, well, if I'm going to be a diabetic, I'm going to be the best darn diabetic out there. And I have been.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I was 12.1 or 12.4 was my sugar levels in my bloodstream. And I needed to be down between 5 and 7. And I thought, well, if I could get it halfway there in 3 months, because that's when they check your A1C, which is the amount of blood sugar or the sugar in your blood system. I'm on the right track. And 3 months later, I was down to 6.4 and I've never been above it. Okay. In fact, my nephrologist said, sure you're not hypoglycemic? I said, how about me just being normal? So then I had a heart attack.
Oh.
I had a heart attack. Okay. And then I had skin cancer. And the doctor says, I don't want you to freak out now, but you've got some skin cancer back here. And I said, well, what are we going to do? Come on, let's make a plan. Let's figure out what we're going to do. And so I'm in the process now. I had melanoma on the top of my head. I've had basal cell here and there. I've got another one right here. They're going to operate and cut that out. You know, it's just the way life is. It's not always perfect, but it's life. And I'm here to enjoy it. And I'm going to enjoy it. And you know, the good Lord himself says, I give you life. Live it abundantly.
Yes.
That doesn't mean about being rich.
No.
It means living it to the fullest. So I didn't tell everybody and you this tale of woe about all the stuff that's going on with me to feel sorry for me. It's a simple fact that don't feel sorry for me. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to get through this, and I got many more years to go. I'm sorry, you're stuck with me. And we're going to do this. Okay? Yeah. Now, having said that, Lisa, it's been a joy. I hope we get to meet face to face once this COVID stuff is out of here.
Oh, we will.
And make us proud, girl. Go back and make us proud.
Thank you.
We love you and appreciate you. Everybody out there, this is Don and Ashley and Lisa saying, be kind to one another.
This is Kidney Journeys and the team at The Road Back to Life saying thank you for listening and for allowing us to be a part of your journey. For more information on The Road Back to Life, visit us at www.theroadbacktolife.com. Also, consider subscribing to our channel so we can keep you updated with new content and videos. Remember, we're all in this together. Now go out and be kind to one another.